All right, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 John 4. We've been in a series the last few weeks we called Faith Over Fear. 1 John 4, verse 17. Of course, it's on your sheet there too as well. 1 John 4, verse 17. First John 4, verse 17, it says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love." None. If you're in the presence of love, you're not afraid. If somebody says they love you, and you're in the presence of somebody that loves you, you're not afraid of that person. Now, not afraid like fear, run away. You know, being, the Bible also uses, and we're not talking about this here, but when people get confused, when they said like the fear of the Lord, it says it's not talking about running away from God. It's honor, it's reverence, it's respect. And like, you know, in a family, kids ought to have a healthy fear in that sense of their parents or, you know, a father. They ought to, because today a lot of people are just too flippant. That wasn't the way it was when I was growing up, and I'm not that old. How about you? But there were certain things, if your father or your mother said, you knew you did not cross that, or else there were going to be consequences, that's healthy. And that's the way it ought to be with God. People are way too flippant with God. Mm-hmm. Well, prove it, or something. You know, they don't know what they're saying and who they're talking to. We ought to have a healthy fear of Him. Now, that's not like, I'm scared. That's reverence. You get a good word is reverence, or honor. But the Bible says there's no fear in love. In other words, you're not runaway, scared, terror, fear. The Bible says just a few verses before chapter 4, in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The Bible says God is love. And so we can go back to verse 18. There's no fear in love. Well, there's no fear in God. If you know God, you're not afraid in that sense, like runaway terror of Him. And in fact, it's not just of Him, of anything. What would you be afraid of if you know God, you know the Almighty, you know the King of the universe, and you know He's with you, and you know truly how much He loves you, then any circumstance, you are going to come to it and match it in this world because you know the one that's greater. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out, it displaces fear. If there's love involved, then fear is displaced. Fear is pushed out because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. It means you've not been complete. You don't understand. If you're afraid, if I'm afraid, it's because we don't understand as we ought to. We don't understand who God is, and we don't understand who He is to us as His children. Otherwise, fear would not be there, because you would have a greater knowledge than fear, than what you're afraid of. You would know better. It's just not there anymore. You don't have to try to overcome it. You don't have to try to push it out when you have knowledge of who God is and what He is to you. That causes you to despise the thing that you were maybe tempted to be afraid of. And that's a good thing to despise. In other words, you may have something pressing on you in this world, but if you know who God is, and who God is in relation to what you're facing, this situation starts to look small. But if we don't understand who God is and who He is to us, then this situation can look huge in our lives. Amen. Let's read the next scripture. Let's go ahead and turn there, actually. Let's go to John 16. Let's just let the Word speak to us this morning. I have a number of scriptures here that I want to go over. But John 16, verse 32. John 16, verse 32. Now, if you have a Bible like mine, most Bibles, not all Bibles, but a lot of Bibles have red letters where Jesus is speaking. This is Jesus speaking here, these verses. Verse 32, John 16, verse 32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now has come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This is a good verse of Scripture. I like this one. They're all good. The Word is all good, but there's certain things that really pop out. These things, Jesus, he said, this is Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That you may have peace. You know, we talk about it at this time of the year. Peace. Bible talks about peace. Peace to all men. God came, Jesus came to make peace between God and man. He was the way. He was the sacrifice. The only sacrifice that could truly pay the ransom and to make us right with Him, if we'll accept that. He is the bridge. And we talk about peace on earth and goodwill toward men at this time. It's Scripture. But Jesus came to give us peace in this earth. Peace is something that people are looking for. Well, I would say, I don't know if I could say more than ever. I haven't lived, you know, for all time. There's been some pretty stressful times on this earth in history. But people are looking for peace. And they're searching in all kinds of places. But he said that, I have spoken these things to you, and that in me you may have peace. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. Now you wish he wouldn't said that. Amen. But it's Jesus. How many of you know if Jesus said it, it's true? Absolutely. Whether you like it or not, it's true. Whether you understand it, whether I understand it or not, it's true. And people try to kind of wiggle around certain things and try to make the Bible not be true and build doctrines. And you know, well, I don't know. That's that. Unless the Bible itself has commented on something and changed the meaning of something, like from the Old Testament to the New, then it stands. Now, I wish that this weren't the truth, that we would just float through life and never have a challenge. Don't you? But it's not Scripture. That's not. And it's not, you know, what we would call what the camp we're in, if you want to say it that way, you know. Just like any family, the body of Christ has different areas and people have come from different backgrounds. And what we would be, it is called the Word of Faith, or it's not a denomination, but it's a thrust and a focus. And, you know, God's called us to speak on certain things, and it's an emphasis. But some people get the wrong idea. And they have. And I don't know, I understand anything can be twisted, misunderstood. But the Word never promised us that if we got a hold of faith or saw in the Word what the Lord has said, that we would not have any problems. It does not say that. And nobody that's preaching the Word has ever said that. In other words, you learn about faith. You learn what the Word says in certain areas, that your days, your problems are over. The Bible does not teach that. Now, what it does teach is that in the face of problems, you can still overcome and have victory.
Amen.
But it did not say, once you hear or believe certain things in the Bible, you're just going to float through life the rest of the time and you'll never have a problem. It doesn't say that. And it's not the truth. And then what people do, they end up getting the wrong idea, and then somehow when something comes up, they say, well, why is this happening to me? And if they think that it was supposed to be otherwise, a lot of times you know who they blame? They blame God. This is God's fault. And this is the problem. That there's a lot of people in today, the people have gotten in certain areas have gotten off the Word and emphasized certain things too much. And what it boils down to is it's all God. It's all up to God. Jesus did everything, and I don't have anything to do with it. Now, there's a truth that Jesus did the heavy lifting. You could not save yourself. You could not pay the price for your sin. You could not set yourself free from sickness and disease and pay that price. You cannot make a way that you could live in abundance on your own. But we have to receive it. He didn't do everything for everybody. Otherwise, everybody would have the same result. Because if it's up to him, he's no respecter of persons. It's done. That clearly tells us, because we don't all see the same thing, that we have, in fact, and we've said this, but it bears repeating here in this context, if that were true, nobody would go to hell. And this is the ultimate place that people end up when they go down this path. Because if it's all up to God, it's all up to what Jesus did, and it's all up to His grace, then ultimately, who's going to go to hell? Nobody. And that's a distortion of Scripture. That's not true. That's actually a lie. Because what's the truth? We have to receive what He did. We have to act on it and accept it as truth. That's how we become born again. He did it. He did the heavy lift. There's no way you or I could ever pay the price for sin and make ourselves right with God. Impossible. Only Jesus could do it. He made it potentially there. In fact, the whole world, their sin has been paid for today, now. But not all will receive. And if there was anything God were just going to take the lead in and make it happen, why would he let anybody go to hell? But yet people die every day and they go there. Why? God's not sending them there. They reject what Jesus did, and they have the same punishment that Satan has, who hell is created for. Satan's deceiving mankind, and people that listen to him will have the same punishment. God didn't send anybody. He made the way. He's not sending anybody to hell. He made the way for all to be saved, but people have to receive it. So we deal with issues in this world. We spent a whole lot of time earlier in the year, and I go back and listen to the series. We talked about deception, talked about why things happen in this earth that are not good. People ask, why do bad things happen to good people? It's not that hard. People act like that's a real deep question. It's not that hard. There's a devil. It's not God doing it. There is an enemy. And we spent a lot of time on that and showed you in Scripture. And go back and listen to those messages. They're on the website for that reason. We spent a lot of time. There is an enemy. He's loose on this earth, and he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. And then you know what he does? He says God did it. You know what? A whole lot of people listen to him. And there's doctrines in this earth that say everything is God's will. Everything that happens is God's will, which does not bear up under any logic whatsoever. It's a religious fallacy. And I don't know many people that, I mean, it's like they say they believe it, but they don't live like they really believe it. Right. You may say you believe it in church, but when you go into the world on Monday, it just doesn't make any sense. So that would mean, if everything that happens is God's will, that these people that have decided to take weapons and kill other people and then commit suicide, that's at God's direction. And that's heresy. You're attributing that to... No, that's a person that listened to the wrong voice, listened to the enemy, and chose to do something horrible and chose to end other people's lives. God has nothing to do with that. Well, he allowed it. No, God gave men a free will. He set this thing up. He gave Adam jurisdiction over the world, and Adam bowed his knee to Satan. The Bible, and this is, I'm not going to reteach this, but we're inserting it enough to get to where we need to go this morning. Go. I have many messages on the web. Go back and listen to them. Because we go into this in detail, but Satan is called the god of this world, so he is causing certain things to happen. Men need to yield to the Lord in order to deal with what Satan's trying to do. He is the god of this world, and people that listen to him, I'm not saying everybody's demon-possessed, but there is, in this world, thinking that has been inspired by somebody that is anti-God. And you can see it everywhere. There is no God. God's, you know, who knows? He's out there. That's not God. That's not what the Bible says. But so we have tribulation in this world. This is what this is saying. It's not God causing it. It's that we live in a fallen world. We're going to have some stuff. Our parents, their parents, they weren't perfect. They do things, and then we wake up and we come to ourselves and we're like, what am I dealing with this for? Well, we live in a fallen world. We live in a place where not everything is perfect. It's not heaven. There will be no curse. There will be no enemy in heaven. It's going to be wonderful. But while we're here, we're going to have to deal with some stuff. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He said, these things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. He didn't say maybe. He said you will. But he didn't say it had to overcome us. He didn't say it would destroy us. He didn't say it will have the upper hand. Well, you have tribulation, it's going to destroy you, and that's my will. That's not what he said. Because that's what some people think that. Well, it's God. God's doing this to me. It's not what the Bible says. In the world, you will have tribulation. Tribulation, I've read this before, but in this context, we'll read it. That word, now I'm not a Greek scholar, but you can look this up in a concordance or a Greek dictionary, or you know, like my study Bible has things like this. Tribulation there means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Does that describe what's going on in the earth today with people? Are people experiencing, now it says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have, and this is what that word means. In the world you're going to have pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing. Anybody ever feel like something is crushing you? It doesn't have to, but it can feel that way. Squashing, squeezing, distress. Anybody ever felt squeezed? Jesus said you would. The thing is, what are we going to do with it? We're all going to feel it. What are we going to do? Here it says, in the world you will have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome it. He's overcome the enemy. So that's the way out. Number one, to say, Lord, I don't see the way out, but you do. I'm following you. And he'll get us out. But you know what a lot of people do in this world? They're already, how are we going to get out of it if we don't look to the one that's overcome it? Because we can't overcome. Yeah, you can overcome certain things in a measure. You can renew your thinking to agree. You can change the way you think you're thinking, and you ought to renew it with the Word of God, because anything good is in the Word, any good way of thinking. But you do it with empty philosophy or men's ideas, it can get you some things in a measure. We're not denying that. But it's not gonna really cut through the real issues. Because God has overcome, and he's the one that knows the answer. Let's read on your sheet there, let's just turn back. I guess it's two chapters early. John 14:25, you can look it on your sheet there as well, but it's just maybe a page two back in your Bible. John 14:25 says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That means it's a choice. We just read, we're going to deal with some stuff. Stuff is going to happen to us, but we can overcome it. We don't have to be afraid of it. Why would you not be afraid of it? Because you know someone greater than the problem. Now, just put it in just think about this. If, let's say you had an unexpected bill come up. Let's say it like this. Let's say your child had something pop up, and let's say he's still in the house, you know, not really making money on his own or on her own, and they had something pop up at school or whatever. They have a need. And they come to you, and they say, I don't know what I'm going to do. This hypothetical, okay? Let's just say they reacted. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have this thing that's come up at school, and I have this expense. I don't know how I'm going to get it. And you say, well, how much is it? Well, it's $10. I have no idea where that's going to come from. And if your reaction was, well, no, don't worry about it. I got it. I have the $10. I'll take care of it. Now, if they chose to listen to you, what should that do to them? Should they be afraid? Should they be scared? Like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because they just talked to somebody they can meet that need. They're greater than that in that sense, right? Don't worry about it. I got this. It's $10. I can take care of it. Okay. Let's just say now, let's say it was another individual. Let's say your child was down the road, and they needed, let's say it was $100,000, and let's say you had no problem with that either, and you were able to meet that need. Should they, and let's say, you know, not saying you should just do everything for your kids, this is just hypothetical, just to show the point. If they were to come to you and say, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. This happened. This was no fault. This was a catastrophe. But you were able to say, no problem. Well, they met somebody that's greater than the need. Well, what if it was $10 million? And you said, I don't have 10 million. Maybe you do, but let's just say hypothetically, I don't have $10 million to give you. And I'm not saying the person's just being stupid and running up debt. I'm just saying, let's say it was something that they needed. But let's say you say, I don't have it, but, you know, in this situation, Uncle Frank, I mean, he's a multi-billionaire. Let's talk to him. And he says, no problem. Well, you met somebody that has no problem meeting that need. So where this seemed unsurmountable a little bit ago, now it's not. Why? Because somebody's greater than that problem. The problem didn't change. It's just that you bumping up against the problem, you don't have the resources anymore. You could help them at $5. You could even help them with more. But you just don't have the resources to do that. But you know somebody that can. So now you have a choice. Am I still going to be afraid? Why would you be afraid? Somebody already can take care of it. Well, Jesus, God can take care of anything. And it's not just financially. Not just material. Not just emotionally. Physically. Relationally. Do you believe He has the answer for anything? He's the God of all creation. There is nothing. He's not short in any area. Men are. But it's all perspective. Men can tell you, there's nothing I can do. I don't have that much money. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know. You don't know anybody that does. And I'm sorry this happened to you, but you're done, pal. Declare bankruptcy. They could tell you, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. We don't have the knowledge to help your baby. With all we know, they have to die. But they're not God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Men are not God. And so Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, that's a choice. You bump up against tribulation, squeezing, crushing. We have a choice. And like we talked, it's a choice. We can say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or we can say, Lord, you know. I know you didn't do this, but you know. You can do it. You have an answer. And so then that's where we're talking about fear. Fear will grip you and drive you. And it's not going to drive you in a godly manner. Fear will drive you, and it does to people all the time. It doesn't drive them to God. Like we talked about, if we're being led by fear or trying to avoid something happening, we're already in the wrong place. We're not listening to God. We're not being led by Him. We're trying to run away from something. And so many times we run smack dab in the thing we're running away from. Why? Because if you're being led by fear, who instigates fear? The enemy. This is how he, one of the avenues that he uses to destroy men. Yep. If he can get us in fear, get us to start running afraid, he's controlling us whether we know it or not. And like we talked about last week, it's bondage. People are in bondage by fear. Trying to avoid this. Well, I can't do this. Why? Because of this. I can't do this. I can't go here. I have to go to bed at this time or else this will happen. And I got to get up at this time and I have to do this and I can't eat this and I have to eat this. And I'm not saying there isn't some of that. We use sense, but there's a difference between I'm going to do this and there's a reason and I am running away afraid of something. If you don't want to do something, make a choice. I'm not doing it because of this. But there's a difference between that and running in fear because I'm scared of something. I don't want something to happen, and that's bondage. Amen? Amen. And so Jesus here, who is God, is saying, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You're going to run into some stuff here, but I've overcome it. I've overcome the world. Let's go. Let's just read on your sheet Isaiah 41:10. He says here, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Now, this is in Isaiah. This is to the children of Israel. We are sons and daughters of Abraham. Because of what Jesus did. Go, you know, you can read in the New Testament. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So we know we're going to bump up against some things. We know there's going to be tribulation. God did not say we're exempt. But in the midst of it, he says, "Fear not." Why? Because I'm with you. Who's with us? He's with us. Well, that's not like just another human being with you. Fear not. Why? Because I'm with you. Who's I? The God that created the heavens and the earth. This is potent stuff. He's not a weakling. He's not ignorant. He's not short on power. He's not short on wisdom. He has everything. He has all power. He knows everything. He's always been, and he's with us. So what should that do with fear? It should displace it, if we'll let it. Because God is love, and if we realize God's here, he's all this, and he loves me, what does that mean? He'll use everything that he has for me. What's the key? We need to believe that and receive it. Because like we said, people say, well, why doesn't he just do it? There are laws on this earth that he's dealing with. So you have to understand, Adam bowed his knee to Satan, and Satan is the god of this world. That means there's legalities involved right now. And so God can't just come in and do anything. He has to have somebody agree with him to get it done. Otherwise, he's acting illegally. So what do? We believe him, and that gives him the legal right to do what he said he wants to do for us. So he says, I'll do it. We say, I believe that. I receive that. That's the way it is. We have authority in our lives, and by us stating it and saying, that's what's going to happen in my life, we are decreeing it. We give him legal right to do what he wants to do. But you know what fear will do? It'll say, I'm not going to have it. Like we said the other week, Satan will paint pictures. He'll play videos of in your head of the wrong thing happening. And if you yield to that and give that place, you're saying that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And you start running and listening to that, you're giving him place to do what he wants to do. You follow that? Amen. But if we'll say no, that's not going to happen. No, I don't believe it. No, I won't receive it. I believe what God said. I believe God's at work here. I believe God has the power. He has the ability. He said he would, and that's what I say. We are giving him legal right to do what we need to do. We need to stand up and do that. That will drive out fear. Amen. We have to push. Yes, there's going to be pressure. There's going to be squeezing. But Jesus said, I've overcome it. So what do we need to do? Run away and say, oh, here it comes. I feel so squashed. I feel pressure. I feel stressed out. I can't do anything. That's where we miss it. I can't do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we throw up our hands. What are we supposed to do? What can we do? We can say, Jesus, this is not fun. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie about it. I don't like this. Wish this was not happening, but I know you're not the author of it. You didn't do it to me, and you're actually on my side. In fact, you said you have overcome this. I see all this junk around me, but I know you, and you are powerful enough. And so instead of yielding to fear and saying, I just don't know, I can't see, and being driven then by the wrong force, we listen to him and say, no, I refuse to fear. I'm listening to you have overcome, and I listen to you and decree and declare what he said in his word concerning our situation. Now let's read a few scriptures. Let's skip down to Psalm 27. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 27. We'll be over in Psalms a little bit. Let's turn to Psalm 27. Let's see. Yeah, let's read Psalm 27, verse 1. David. You know David saw some stuff. You realize that people were trying to kill David. The king was trying to kill David. The king's after you, you're in trouble. But, I mean, this is, you know, this is thousands of years ago. And yet we're reading his words now. He knew some stuff about, he knew something about being under pressure. You know, people were trying to kill him. The guy with all the troops and all the power and all the money was trying to take David out. And David was the one that was anointed king. Well, it sure didn't look like it. So this is a good illustration. God, the prophet of God, came and anointed David king. But Saul's still king. And then the king's trying to kill David. It doesn't look like what God said, what the prophet of God said, is true in David's life. Does it? In fact, if David's going by what he sees, he's going, what? I thought I was supposed to be king by now. And I am on the run. I am running for my life. The king's trying to kill me. God, what is up with this? And he could have just, you don't think he had problems? He could have said, forget that. He's running for his life. You don't think he could have just cowered and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, the king's after me. What am I going to do? Yeah, I killed the giant, but you know, this is thousands of people. The king wants to kill me, and he's not giving up. He's a lunatic now. He used to like me, now he hates me. He could have been afraid. There's a reason why he's in the book and the reason why he became the king of Israel. And it's not just because God took him and was like a puppet and did everything for him. The man had a choice. Just like you and I have a choice. We just read, Jesus said, let your heart not be afraid. That means you let it. We have a choice. I'm not saying we work something up and just try. No, it's just like, I choose to believe what you said, God. David had a choice. He's out alone with some people that support him. He had a choice to be afraid. He could have been afraid and said, I'm going to die. There's no way out of this. Forget it. I thought God was on my side. I took out Goliath, but for what? For what? Here I am. Probably going to die here. Took out Goliath. Dude's 10 foot tall, but now, doesn't matter. He could have thrown a pity party. I don't use that lightly. I know people do that, throw that. Look, we understand that people are going through stuff. Okay? Don't ever belittle and like, well, just get your act together. No, there's some real hard pressing stuff on this earth. But we do have a choice. We can say God's bigger than it. He can take this. Or we can run. I'm not saying that lightly. We have pressure to run. We have pressure to give up. Satan wants to destroy us. Do you understand? See, people say, well, there's no devil. That's perfect for the devil. Because if I don't exist, I can do whatever I want. You don't think it's me. You think it's just, well, it's just what you think in your mind. No, he's real. People are going to be really surprised when they leave, and if they don't believe some of this stuff exists, they're going to be really surprised when they find it out. But no, there's pressure to give up. There's pressure to say, forget it. It's not all just natural. Again, I'm not saying everybody's demon-possessed. I'm not saying there's a devil behind every door. No, but there is an enemy. There is a devil, and he does have demons. Those are real. There is a spiritual realm, and they do put pressure. And they do try to discourage you, quit, separate you from God. Number one, to separate you from God. Why? They hate God. They know where they're going, and they are the sworn enemy of the Almighty. And while we're on this earth, they're going to do everything they can to get people to drive people away from God. Christians, non-Christians, if they can't get them, if they can keep them from getting to God, first thing, but if they're believing God, try to get you God, to believe God's your enemy, God did this to you, and push you away, drive a wedge between you and the Lord. That is their tactic. If you're born again, they know that they can't help that, but they're going to make your life miserable if they can. But David, he had a choice. And what does he say here? Verse 1, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Huh? He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's kind of sassy. Kind of bold. It's like, God's on my side, so what? What am I going to fear? Who am I going to fear? Well, somebody in the natural could say, well, people trying to kill you in general. They didn't stop just because he became king, you know. They're trying to take you out. Well, no, but what does he know? What does he know? This person may be trying to kill me. This may be happening, but what? I know the Lord, so doesn't really matter who it is. Doesn't really matter what's coming up against me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Do you see that he is determined? Yeah. I mean, is there reason to fear if an army comes against you?
Oh, yeah.
Is there? Oh, yeah. Anybody that says no, well, what planet are you from? The only reason you would say no is because you know something. Now, if it's, you know, people say, you and what army going to take me out, right? Well, if you know God is with you, I don't care what army you have. One angel took out 185,000 people, you know, in the one instance. It's not that hard for God to take out human beings. I mean, if you're going to, if you're going to, if you're going to war against him, there will be judgment. Don't get this idea. God's not, you know, they ain't, the Bible says they ain't, we'll read it in Psalm 191, I believe. The angels are there to help us. Well, if you're coming against somebody and they're protected by the angels, well, something's got to give. That's not a good position to be in, right? Not that they're just going to let you through. But no, it says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. He's not going to let his heart fear. Didn't we say Jesus said, let your heart not be troubled? Well, David obviously knew some of this. He's saying, I'm not going to fear. He has a reason to fear, but he knew something. They said, I'm not going to fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, what? He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. What did he say? When I'm in trouble, then something's going to happen. He didn't say, when I'm in trouble, I'm running away. Because there's nothing I can do. He could have. Now, make this clear. He could have. Yes. He had that opportunity, just like you and I have that opportunity. Don't think that when you read these accounts in the Bible, they're real, they're not just stories, they're accounts. They were people just like you and I that had every opportunity to quit, to throw up their hands, to fear, to not believe God. But they didn't. Sometimes you say they did, and the Bible says these are our examples. They're for us to look and to learn. But they're not parables. They're real. People actually face these things. And they made these decisions, and that's why we read about them. For better or for worse, we can see what they did. So this is, in our lives, we have the ability to say, verse 5, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. In the time of trouble. Well, he's already said, in the time of trouble, when stuff looks bad, when the tribulation comes, here's what's going to happen. Let me break it down for you. He's saying, God's going to protect me. God's going to help me. I'll be okay. That's a choice, like we talked about. Does that sound like he's afraid? No. Why? Because he believes something. Because he believes something about God. And because he believes something about God, that causes him, he has a choice, but he chooses to believe that God will help him, that God is going to protect him, that God is on his side. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews and we'll close with this. You can look it out on your sheet too, but I'm just going to turn over there quick. Hebrews 13:5. Maybe getting to Psalm 91 next time. Boy, you get into Psalm 91. Every verse is loaded, but you know, unless there's something else, maybe we'll get into that next time. Because it's good. Talk about protection. You talk about being afraid. There's some good scripture there. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let's close with this today. It says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now there it says, what can man do to me? But everything else is applicable to anything, whether it's man or not. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, what does that mean? in the face of whatever, boldly, not timidly, boldly. Say, that means you don't have, you can say it and you know God's going to do what he said he's going to do. If God's with me, he said, God has said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Somebody needs to say that. Say, the Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
Say it one more time. The Lord is my helper. Amen. The Lord is my helper. Not, you know, I don't want to, sometimes, you know, I want to say a name and I'll realize somebody in the congregation has that name and it just blows the whole thing apart because I'm not talking about that person. But I'm not saying a man's my helper. I'm not saying a lady's my helper. I'm not saying some firm is my helper. Not saying, you know, my neighbor's my helper, or this certain doctor's my helper, or this lawyer's my helper, or this... I'm saying the Lord's my helper. Well, he's a superset of everything. Good. He's my helper. If he's my helper, well, all right. All right. That's different. That's different. It's like if I'm trying to enlist certain people to help me, like let's say I'm looking for a lawyer, you know, something, I may look up, well, pros, cons with this person. Well, you can look at God and say, the pro column is pretty long. The con column, there's nothing there. He's my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Then he says, what can man do to me? But you could say, what can whatever? You can insert whatever. What is it? What can this do to me? And that'll help you sometimes. What is this going to do to me? Well, if the Lord is my helper, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to let this thing push me. I'm going to get in its face, as we would say. You know, get in somebody's face, what does that mean? I'm getting in your face now. What are you going to do? Huh? Andrew, stand up. You know what I'm saying? We would say this in college, I'm getting in your face. What are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do? Huh? Get back in your face. Get back and say, no, I'm going to get in your face. Yeah. That's what you could do with stuff. Say, I'm getting in your face now. What are you going to do? Why? Not because I'm so cool? No. You see who's behind me? The Lord. The Lord. Somebody's got to get this picture. Can I give you one more picture? You ever seen that? I can't remember where I saw it now. If it was, you know, somebody was describing it, or if I saw something, it was a picture or what, but the scenario was this. There was a wild animal coming to attack a bear cub, and I can't remember the specifics. It was like, you know, a wild cat or something that would rip up the bear cub. And the bear's there, and then he tries to get in the cat's face or whatever, and all of a sudden the cat just shoots away because the mother bear had just stood up in front back of the little bear. And the animal wasn't running away from the little bear. The animal was running away because he saw mama bear. And that's the way it is. You may say, I'm no match for this. Well, you don't have to be. Just you don't have to be. Say that. Say, I don't have to be.
I don't have to
be. I don't have to be. Take that pressure. I don't have to believe real hard. You know what you just have to believe? That he's big enough. Do you see the difference in that? See, some people are trying to say, I got to do it. I got to believe. No. What you have to believe is that God's big enough and he can handle it. That's faith. Nobody ever said you have to take it out in your own strength. Just admit, now I can't do this, but with God I can. Amen. Because he's able. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet, please?